everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to my series. Welcome to the Winner Circle. This evening, I will be speaking with More Black, and this episode is part of my Black Woman Self-Care mini-series. So good evening, More. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Long day. Business and work. So, but other than that, no complaints. Living in... Good. It's always good to remember that you are, what somebody told me? Yeah, you're living in one of your prayers.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I consistently remind myself of that too. Whenever I'm feeling like, okay, I'm stressed out. This is not doing it right now. I have to remember like there was once a time when I totally feel you on that. So tonight's episode, we're going to chat a little bit about the history of self-care and Black women, and just why self-care is important specifically for us as Black women. We see a lot about this lately, especially now that I think overall in the Black community, there's more of a discussion when it comes to mental health. But now in terms of Black care, self-care for Black women, it's becoming more of a conversation than in the past. So we can get into it. I think like over time, I felt like there were periods of history where we just didn't have that self-care. Like, I feel like, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel like as much as history that I know, we as Black women just haven't had a minute to have a breather. You know what I mean? Like, there was just always something happening next and something happening next. And then we never really had a moment to really like just decompress, I think, like as a collective, as Black women, and in terms of like its relation to history and what was going on over time and things like that. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, and it's funny, we're having this conversation because I spoke with I spoke with one of my counselors about this. I attend counseling, very proud of that. Mm-hmm. Counseling / life coach is a mixture of both, but I'm very proud of that because I was raised, you know, in a family, especially Black families, we don't tell anybody our business, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about you, but it was always raised to me, you know, give it to God, he'll take care of it, or you just don't say anything about that. So I think that we all suffer from some form of post-traumatic slave syndrome, you know, as Black people. And the truth is, it's an unfortunate thing, but it's going to always go on with us. I think it's best for us to remember, especially as Black women, that we don't have to carry the water for everybody.
Right.
We're literally programmed and it's passed down for us to do that. I don't know if that was for you, but I remember telling a good friend of mine, her mother, we were having a conversation, and this wasn't too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, my girlfriend has a nanny now. She's gotten to a place where she can afford a nanny. Now, me personally, I was all for it with her. You know, you've worked hard, and we don't have to be everything to everyone.
Right.
So her mother really got on her and had kind of said some things before that about her thinking about hiring a nanny for 3 years. So imagine beating yourself down for 13 or 14 hours a day when you don't have to. It's different when you're just a single parent, you know, you don't have to do that, but she can hire help, and she also has help in her husband, but she just didn't do anything because of what people thought.
Right. Yeah. I feel like that comes up too in terms like, that never came up in terms of like when I was growing my kids, like I'm a single mom, but when they were like babies and I was just doing it alone, it wasn't a thing of get a nanny or anything. It was kind of like, do what you got to do. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's not something common in our households. It really isn't, unless you're like wealthy or, you know, something of that nature.
Right.
So I definitely feel you on that too. Like that question your friend probably had of like, do I want to get one? If I get one, am I acting a certain way? Am I not competent? Like those kind of things.
But you know what's weird about that? My mother was a nanny part-time. my grandmother, as well as her mother, of course, back in the day, because some of our ancestors, they had their own businesses. You know, we don't emphasize that as much, but there were a lot of Black women who were forced into servitude, you know, or they were so poor with sharecropping. And my grandmother cleaned and cooked for a white family. You know, that was her job, you know, outside of sharecropping. And I just think it's so funny that, you know, she would give those kids so much love, and those kids, obviously, they would eventually grow up. And of course, they grew up and they understood the world more. So they didn't respect her as much as they would, you know, when they were younger, when they didn't know any better.
Right.
But she didn't have an issue. And some people may be offended by this, but if you talk to a lot of our elders, we have to be careful with what we let them feed us. We're taught to always respect elders, and I always will respect any, you know, especially a Black elder. And I have a deep love for our ancestors, meeting them or not. But at the end of the day, we were taught some things from broken people. And these people were strong, which we always say that, absolutely. They were still broken and learning. They never quite learned how to live. They just learned how to survive and deal with things. So with me, it's funny, because if you tell some older people, hey, you know, I'm going to get a nanny, they'll look at you like, no, I did this. I had three or four kids and I did this all by myself. You think this hard. But when you look at their jobs, which they took with a lot of pride, you know, I say that with respect, they were nannies and cooks and cleaned and everything. So I think something is wrong with that way of thinking, that it's okay for you to cook and clean for someone else. But when it's time for you to have a little bit of help, then, you know, they look down a little bit.
Yeah, that is something that, like, in our community, we don't see a lot of. But I agree with you. I am kind of starting to see it more. I am definitely seeing it more. But yeah, I definitely felt like throughout history, like, we didn't have periods of just relaxing, decompressing. It was slavery. It was Jim Crow and civil rights. It was the feminist movement, especially just now with the feminist movement and taking the Black father out of the household. Intentionally, and then it became you're intentionally a single Black parent, you know.
Very true. I don't want to, and I want to say this loosely, I understand, because I don't want people to attack you or your show or me. I'm not saying everyone can afford a nanny, you know. We're still reeling from the effects of slavery, you know. To this day, anybody says they'll say I never owned a slave, but no. But we still suffer the effects the same way you of the, you know, you have the money from the generations, and you also have that way of life of mistreating someone different because they're Black. While we
have the privilege,
And we still have that coping mechanism that's been passed down. So I do want to say that not everybody can afford a nanny or a chef or a person to clean. But if you can, especially my single mothers, I'm not a mother yet, but my heart goes out to the single mothers because my mother was one. I love my mother very much, but I see how tired she was at the end of the day, you know, and it was me. And she did the best she could, because a lot of the knowledge and stuff that, you know, I have, you know, she just never learned about. Now, she experienced a lot in her life, but somebody has to break cycle. But I definitely saw how tired she was after a long day. So if you're a single mother, if you can't afford a nanny, do something for yourself at least one day a week. Don't feel like, oh my God, this is what I have to do for my kids. I have this, I have that. I see a lot of my friends, they're all, you know, a lot of them are all, except for a few, are single parents, and they kill themselves, or they put the burden of the man on mothers, you know? And that's just some men, you know, some of our Black men are wonderful, but a lot of them sometimes can be difficult and may not do anything. So I always tell my single mothers, it's tough. Even if you're married, this is how I was raised. You're the mother. Everything is still going to fall on you, married or not. You know, even if that kid gets sick at school, they're going to call dad. Yeah, but they're going to call dad after they call mom, and mom like, hey, I can't get off or something. Or unless you're a single dad or something, parent. So please, always make time for yourself. I don't care if it's just a dollar, getting yourself an extra piece of candy.
Right. Exactly. No, it does. I learned that in my own journey. my own parenting journey and raising the kids myself too. Like that time for me is very important. Like, you know, people are always saying like, make time for yourself, set time for yourself, but nobody really taught me how.
Yeah.
And I didn't learn how until I actually heard someone say, like, literally put yourself on your own calendar. And when I did that, I was like, okay, now I'm making time for myself, you know? And then I definitely, it rings different now versus like someone just saying, make time for yourself. And then you're like, okay, but I've got so much to do. How do I do it? And you try to squeeze it in, but then you got to cancel or this happens and you can't do it. But I realized if you really put it, like actually put it on your calendar and treat it like you do any other appointment on your calendar, then you're making time for yourself and you're really keeping a promise for yourself. So I had learned that, like, even through my own journey, and really having that, like, not negotiating with that time either, like really enforcing that, because you can put it, but then you might be like, well, I can kind of reschedule. No, you can't reschedule. Like, you know what I mean? So really kind of just doing that. And I've had to learn that. And I think it definitely does help. I will say it does help. There's always still a lot to do. But yes, it does help when it comes to your, you know, your own well-being.
It does. It does.
Yeah. So I feel like too, like, you know, for us as Black women, our self-care is important, because when we take care of ourselves, it helps us not only mentally and emotionally, but it helps us be the right person for our partners, our husbands, the right person for our children, the right person for our family, and then the right person for our community, because we wear so many hats. But I feel like if we keep pouring from like an empty cup, we can't fulfill anything in those hats, you know? Or if we're constantly thinking about like, okay, I'm mommy right now, then I'm wife when the kids go to bed, then the next morning I'm mom right away. Like, you don't have any room to like be just you without any of those titles. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to kind of get lost. So I feel like, you know, when we prioritize like our self-care, as Black women in general, any role that we have to fulfill or like any title that we do have, we can approach it better. Yeah. Well, you going to say something?
Oh no, I was waiting on you. No. To be fair with us, because sometimes we're tough on ourselves, we never quite learned how. As Black people, think about like your mom, or, you know, you maybe your grandmother or great grandmother or your mom's friend or some older one that you know.
Right.
We've literally, or they, shall I say, have literally become accustomed to working hard. And it's, and if you're not working hard or doing something, you're lazy. So, like, we come from strong people, but the truth is we have to understand they coped with things in their own way. And those coping mechanisms, some were good and some were bad, but good and bad were passed down to us. Like in my family, all the older women are dope. You know, they're so dope, but at the end of the day, they don't know how to sit down. And I realized for me, I was like that too. It was like, I had like all this stuff in my head that I had to do. You know, you feel like you get home and it's like, man, I got to do this. It's 6 o'clock. I got to do this. I got to do this. But the truth is, some of that stuff can wait. We just are programmed to want to do everything and feel like we have the weight of the world. And white women, they don't have that same plight that we have, because they could always rest. You know, that's why I don't identify. Well, I used to, I think when I was young and dumb, you know, when you know better, you do better. I used to say I'm a feminist. At time, I really didn't know what it was at, you know, in teenage years, but now I absolutely understand. I have my own understanding of what it is and what it's done to us as Black women as well.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I feel like when it comes to white women and even other women of color, it's always been ingrained in their lifestyle from the beginning that their self-care is like, it's part of their living. So it was never a question of them having to make time for it. Mm-hmm. It was just there and they just do it. And it was always just kind of through the generations, repetitive in the cycles and the families and down the line. And it was just always something, you know, that they were able to do. And I think for them, they were able to do that because they always had a husband, or they had the wealth. So even if they didn't have a husband, but 9 times out of 10 they did. Mm-hmm. They had the wealth and they had the resources to get nannies, to hire help, to have all these extra services so that they didn't have to do. Definitely like their self-care and like their luxury is something that they've just had since like, I feel like day one. They've been taught how to do it and how to maneuver through it. Whereas us as Black women, it's something that we didn't have, and it's something that we're finally getting to accept and know that we need to have. But we're learning how to do it and how to like incorporate it. Like we're learning the how-to part of it, I think. And I think that's important for us.
Very, very important. I personally, I'm going to go a step further in my opinion. This is just more Black opinion. Sometimes they're also lazy. They were able to be lazy.
Yes.
You know, when you have a Black woman that's, you know, breastfeeding your kid, she's cooking and cleaning, and all you're doing is giving orders. People don't understand psychologically what that does. You know, you're showing your children at a very young age, you know, that there's a difference. There's a difference there. For example, I'll share this really quick. I have a godson, love him to death. I am a former teacher, so I do believe in discipline. I do believe in having more Black teachers. Some people need more male teachers or whatever. Me, I don't care about male or female. We just need more Black teachers.
Yeah.
Also, I think teachers who discipline in various ways, who are open to discipline, because I think our children respond to us better. And in schools, they put them to a white standard. And that's not fair. Yeah. We come with a totally different set of issues. But anyway, I'm more open with children. I do believe in. Okay. I am from the South and I do come from discipline. So I'm all for. Also have learned that everything is not necessarily something that's for spanking. I do believe in spanking. Now, some people don't. I do, but everything. And I do believe that when they're explore, so that would get me in trouble a lot as a teacher. Now, I didn't mind getting them together, okay? Right. If I knew them personally, I probably shouldn't say this on air, but I am, because I know them personally. I don't mind jacking them up either, okay? If I know them personally. Long story short, my god baby, he's 6, he's about to be 7. I've learned over the years, I let him, you know, explore. When we go to the grocery store, he loves going with me. I take him to try to do stuff. But when we go do stuff, I always give him that option to explore. As a child, and you can tell me if you relate, I had to stand next to my mother. My mother didn't want me out of her sight, which I totally get that. You don't want somebody to, you know, you don't want your kid to leave out your sight. So I'm not saying let them run wild, everybody, before I'm attacked. No, you do need to let them explore. And I'm more of him, you know, I'm free spirit. He can jump around long as he's not annoying people. He can kind of jump around. He likes to look at the lobster in the store. I'm totally okay with that. You see what I'm saying? But you notice for me, I was not to do that. I had to stand by my mother. And one day I just asked my mom, and I have to be careful because she's a Southern woman. And I said, Mom, why did I always have to stand next to you? And she said, because I want you to. I said, no, which I get it, but why? You know, I can understand being in, you know, in your vision. Totally. I don't let my God kid run out of my sight. Absolutely not. You have to stay. You don't get behind me. But you can stay in front of me, but he doesn't have to be directly near me as long as I can see him. I let him jump and play. So some Black people would say, oh, he's bad, you know, but he's not. He's active. So, but anyway, I asked her and she said, and then finally she got to a point, that's just what my mom did. I said, yeah, but why? You know, I had to tread lightly again. My mama from the South with a quick hand. So I said, yeah, but it's a reason why she did it, you know? Yeah. And I studied Dr. Joy DeGruy. So I had all this. And it's because back in the day, it came from our ancestors because, you know, at that time, the law, which is still not on our side, but it definitely wasn't on our side then, where if the person said you stole something or if they said you did something, then you did it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So to try to combat some of that, the mothers would always make their kids stay near them. Don't look at nothing. Don't touch nothing. And as Black people, some of us can relate to that. My mom, my aunt used to say, don't ask for nothing. And the reason why is because the truth is that comes from the past. You couldn't ask for anything extra because that's all family could give us when they went into the store. They went in for, you know, a piece of bread or a piece of salt meat, as my granddad say. They couldn't afford anything else. So it's not like they were telling their kids no to be ugly. It's just a coping mechanism. I don't have it. I'm a sharecropper. I don't have anything extra. You see what I'm saying? So I don't have anything. And also, if you look at something a little too hard, or you make someone uncomfortable, or they accuse you of something, I don't want to keep you in harm's way. So you need to stand next to me at all times. And again, if you narrow, you know, you pull, peel that onion back years later, we still do that to our kid.
Yeah, we definitely, I do that with my kids too. But it's interesting you say that too, because my mom did it to me when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And I never asked her, but because I just listened, because, you know, she also wasn't afraid to discipline. So I never asked. I was like, okay. But my grandmother would also do it, but my grandmother would do it with an explanation. So like, we would go to the store and she'd say, listen, I don't want you around the store. I don't want them to think you're stealing. So you stay right next to me and don't touch anything. And so with you saying that now about what Joy DeGruy said and like how it goes back the layers, the generations before, it definitely makes sense that I heard that reasoning from my grandmother. Whereas with my mom, I think my mom is just, my mom probably was thinking the same thing, but probably didn't want to tell me that because I was a little girl. But, you know, it's different how like it's expressed and like who expresses it and like, you know, at what age, you know, the, whether it's your mom, your grandmother, your great grandmother, or your grand aunt or somebody like that. So yeah, definitely.
So it's just, and that's the thing. So, and I catch heat, you know, from some friends of my family. Now, again, I don't, I'm not saying I let him run wild. Absolutely. Not. You know, I don't mind getting him together, but the truth is he's not bad. And some people will say, you know, better. I think that's not fair. And a lot of old, rather, regardless of where they're from, even white kids, they'll say, you know, the white kid is a little too jumpy, you know, they don't like noise. So they'll say that he or she is bad. And again, that just comes because, you know, everything that we do comes with a reason. We may not discuss it or know why, but everything is a reason. Right. And they do that because they're used to, you know, next to them. So for me, I just believe in kids being able to explore, even, you know, even when I taught, you know, I was a disciplinarian, very much so. If you didn't write your sentences, you were going outside. You know, if I taught high school too, if you didn't do your work, you wasn't about to laugh and joke in study hall because you ain't studying no way.
Right.
So, you know, so I had that respect, but I also let them be themselves. That's so important. You can be tough, you can be firm, but also let them be themselves. And that's just because I wanted to change that a little bit, you know?
No, definitely. So that kind of ties into almost like a limiting belief in a sense, like those things that we pass down, some of them are limiting beliefs, and then like tying it into, I guess, like self-care as Black women. One of the limiting beliefs I feel like that we have as Black women is always being like the giver and never the receiver. And just how, like, when you're constantly giving, and even if somebody does try to give to you, you like, you don't take it. You shouldn't have. Oh, no, thank you. Oh, you didn't have to. Like, instead of being on the receiving end, you're constantly giving. And I think like what that does for your, for our energy is, it really is something that hinders us from greatness. You know, somebody may just want to do nice, something nice for you to make you feel good. And when you reject that, it's almost like that energy, you're just like, you're not taking it. And you're holding on to like that tired energy, or that energy feeling like you have to do something. And so it's busy, but it's not a productive energy. And so like, it kind of stops you from doing the greatness that you want to do, or you know, wanting to work on a big project or something and not being open to help. So you can achieve like the goal that you want for this project, you know, or just anything of that nature. I feel like, so I feel like sometimes like that limiting belief of us, like just always having to be the giver, always having to be strong, like I can do it, I can do it myself kind of thing, or, you know, you didn't have to do this kind of thing for me, or just something like, I feel like that really energetically hinders us. And also just that spills over into like what we can actually accomplish if we accepted that help, or we accepted like that compliment, or, you know, things like that. I'm even working on that for myself too, because I'm so programmed to like do things on my own that like, sometimes I find that as a challenge, like somebody wants to help, And I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know, man. Then I'm like, Tamika, let them help you. You know? So yeah. Then I'm like, I let them help. Or, you know, somebody wanting to just buy me something nice, I'm always like, I have my guard up. Like, why did you buy this for me? Like, what's the reason?
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Yeah. So it definitely is something like you have to work on. But I feel like I've been working on this since like last May. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to realize the more that I receive from people when they're giving to you genuinely, because mm-hmm. I know there is a difference in the way people give to you, but I'm noticing more that when I am receiving from a genuine person who's genuinely being kind to me or genuinely wanting to help me or just being genuine and sincere, I find that I'm attracting more people who want to do the same. And a lot more people who show up in areas where, like, I may not voice and say, like, I need help in this area. But mm-hmm. I think because my energy is so open to receive now and I'm not so closed off, all of a sudden here's somebody who I just cross paths with. And they're like, oh, I actually do such and such. And I'm like saying to myself, literally like a week ago, I was just saying I needed help in this area in my life or on this project for this, or I wanted to connect with somebody to this degree. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, us being open to receive and not always being the giver really can benefit us in a lot of different ways energetically, and then just that spills over into other areas of our life. So yeah, I think like working through like those limiting beliefs that we have, you know, that strong Black woman trope, and you know, really focusing on like having a soft life or like a life of luxury is something that shouldn't be frowned upon. Like, we should be open to that idea, I think.
Right. Yeah. It's just hard for us. And this is, again, you know, I'm going to go back to the feminist movement. I didn't mm-hmm. on that enough, but
this is
the truth. And this is just my opinion. This is why I don't understand why we lump ourselves with white women, because mm-hmm. they have not had the type of struggles that we have. As a Black woman, me and you are from two totally different places. And I'm sure if someone else was to call in or some of the audience, they may not know everything that we're talking about, but I can guarantee you at least one of the things that we're talking about, they will be able to relate on. So we don't have the same experience. We have to literally, and I'm thankful that my sisters are doing that now, but we literally have to program ourselves to do things or things.
Yeah.
White people don't have that. They've always had things. If they didn't have it, they take it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We never had that. For us, it's like, okay, so I don't have anything to do this Sunday, you know?
Right.
Okay, I don't have anything.
Yeah. Like, something doesn't feel right. I'm not busy. What's going on here? Right. And you make yourself busy.
Yes. You know, or if someone says, hey, I'll help you plant some stuff in your garden, we looking at you like, yeah, what you want? What do you want? Or or if you know them, sometimes you even feel guilty and you go back and do something for them. I remember with my ex, I would, they're from the North. So North and South cultures are a little different from what I've gathered. But they're still nice people, but we do things a little different. I got up and I cooked breakfast. Mm-hmm. And they were looking at me kind of like, you cooking breakfast for everybody? You know? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I love, you know, for me, I'm kind of new school mixed with old school. So I like when we can all get in a room, or if we can all sit at the table, because it's hard to get everybody in the room now because everybody has lives. But I cook breakfast, and of course, it was so many of us, we couldn't sit at the table, but we were all able to be in the same room. And long story short, there was a girl. Everyone went back to sleep. The food had us leaning. And the next day, one of the girls, who was, I guess, known as one of the most selfish women in the room, if I can remember her and someone arguing. Don't you know, she got up the next morning at 4 and cooked breakfast. She felt obligated to do something. You know, because I had done something the day before. And like, if you do something for me, I'm like, okay, well, let me do something nice for you. And we shouldn't feel that way. We shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't feel like, oh, we have to do this because someone's doing for us. Because there are some people who shoot, if you give them, they're just going to take and never do anything for you. But for us, the majority of us, we're not like that. We feel obligated to not have help or obligated to do something because, oh, you did something for me yesterday, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's definitely true too. I had to learn to kind of stop that. I didn't stop it completely because I didn't want to come across as like take, but I had to find like a good balance between the two. Because I was definitely, it was like that guilt I was feeling. Like they did something kind for me. I didn't ask for it and they did it. And then I was like, oh, thank you. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should do something for them. Like, like what was the purpose of them doing this for me? Like, you know, I got to do something for them now. And then it turned into that. So I definitely can relate in that regard to like that limiting belief. Like you said, like that obligation, like you don't have to feel obligated because somebody did something nice for you. Like, we can be open to just receive. And especially when, you know, it's something genuine, you know, I always feel like it's, you have to use discernment in those situations because it's like, okay, you know, some people give because they do want something in return. And
yes,
or they, you know, depending what it is, they may bring it up later, or you just never know people's angles. But I feel like if you use your right discernment, you can always distinguish, you know, what's really authentic and genuine and sincere and people just really being kind to you, and what kind of has something else lingering in the back behind it. Yeah, I was going to say, and yeah, that's true too. Like just me and you being from different places, but us being Black women, we will have a lot of common experiences. And that's something that is just kind of like crazy, especially like in the workplace. You know, whether you work an office job or any kind of work experience, really, but just like being in the workplace, like as a Black woman, having to like tiptoe and not feeling that stereotype of the angry Black woman who always has an attitude, always trying to have a smile on your face, always trying to look approachable, always, you know, censoring what you say so you don't come off in a meeting as like having an attitude when you're just stating something like anybody else would, or, you know, you don't want to appear, you know, quote unquote, difficult to work with, and like you want to be a team player. Like there's so many things that we have to tiptoe around.
Absolutely.
Just in the workplace. And it is a lot like of anxiety and a lot of pressure. And I think, you know, for us as Black women, like we don't really, because we have the anxiety in the workplace and that pressure in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And then we have at home, you know, depending what you got going on at home, if you're single, if you're not single and you're married, if you have kids or don't have kids, but there's another pressure there that we've just always got to like do. You don't have a spot to where you can really like just stop it all.
Yeah.
Right. And like take a break and like take a breath. So I do feel like, you know, there, it's almost like for us, it's almost like a consistent wheel of just like going and anxiety and just like pressure or do this. And like we had said before, like just constantly being busy.
Yeah.
And when, because we're so used to that though, when we're not busy, we're just like, something's missing. I've got to do something. And so, yeah, instead of just enjoying that moment of, okay, relaxation, this is my time to relax. Like, let me take it in. Let me just get my mental together. Like, let me, you know, get my thoughts in order and like those kind of things. So, yeah, I definitely feel like there are different environments where we have like this pressure to present ourselves in a certain way that adds to that. Like, it's like another layer added to our experience.
I agree, but that's not something I struggle with anymore. Okay. I'm telling you, because I had to go to counseling, and I think all Black women, we need some type of therapy. Now, I go to non-traditional therapy. I don't want a traditional counselor. I go to someone out of, live in Georgia, but I don't want to put her on the spot. And the truth is, for me, I'll be honest with you, I'm always known as the uppity N-word. Any job I've ever been on. Now, have I done the job the best of my ability? Absolutely. Even when I taught, I taught in Mississippi for 3 years and definitely in South Carolina for the majority of time. And I always, exceeded principals' expectations. But my coworkers, shall I say the white women, It's not that I'm mean. It's just that as Black women, we have so much to worry about at work. And it's just, again, you know, you mentioned it. You don't want to come off like the angry Black woman. And trust me, I'm from the South. So here, which I love the South. I love everybody, but I love my homegrown roots too, because some of those things, you know, saying hi, how are you? Definitely dating someone from the North, it's completely different. You know, they talk to people that they don't know. And at first it was offensive to me. I'm like, but then now I get it. But where I come from, an environment where I grew up in a small Southern town. And if you didn't say good morning or hi or hey, if someone's sitting on the porch and you and your girlfriends or you and your homeboys are walking and you didn't say, hey, you know, they calling your mama. And I used to get aggravated with that because I'm very shy. This is the most you'll hear me talk, you know, only when I'm doing like an interview or something. But most of the time, I'm very much to myself. Think that's not my mom's personality. My mom is very upbeat. My dad is more shyer and he's timid. So I think I'm more timid like him. It has to be one-on-one, you know? And at work, you have to, as Black women, and I tell us all the time, and I say it to you and anybody else, we wear so many hats and we have so many things that we have to worry about. Just be yourself. And that's the thing that I hate about us. We're so tough on ourselves and we have to wear all these different hats. But let's be clear, the whole world bites off of us from what it is. But I've always had a tough reputation of women, shall I say, white women have threatened. Because I guess I grew up always having a smile. But now I'm not smiling if there's no reason to smile. But the thing is, we've learned to make them comfortable.
Yeah.
And we make ourselves uncomfortable by making them comfortable. And that's the thing that's passed down. Like if you go back to Jim Crow, you know, that character that they created, you know, that's a Black man who they portrayed as with, you know, big lips and dark face, but he has to always smile. The movie The Butler kind of addressed that. If you look at that movie, at the end, they talked about how the butler, mostly Black men, of course, they had white butlers, but mostly were Black of service. They always had two faces. They had one that they wore when they were doing their, you know, butler duties, and they had another when, you know, they were to themselves, but they always had to smile, because if you don't smile, especially back in the day, and really even now, they get to feeling crazy. You know, they'll say, you're not really friendly. You know, if your voice tone is a certain way, or if you have a certain idea that is not what they would like, or something that's different, people don't like it. They go crazy. Look at any, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, Black Lives Matter. That's just me for, that's why. But even with that, they don't like that. They know good and well what those people were originally saying before the movement was hijacked. They knew that they were saying what they were saying, but they turn it into their own narrative of, well, everybody's lives matter. You know, they don't like us doing something different. But I say to all Black women, you don't have to make yourself uncomfortable to make someone else comfortable. And we've been programmed to do that. Our parents did that. Our grandparents did that. And nothing has changed but the time. So for me, that's one of the reasons I had to go to therapy. I'm not a in your face type of person, you know, and because of that, I did my job and I go home. My job is not to, you know, if I see you in the bathroom, I may say good morning or hi, how are you? But I'm not sitting there smiling when I say it. Look, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to make myself uncomfortable. I'm serious. You've ever experienced that where if you don't do what they think you should do, or that narrative that they feel like you should be, then, you know, they won't tell you you're mean, but they'll kind of dance around it. Well, you know, they'll tell someone, hey, she's not approachable, or, you know, that she has that angry Black woman syndrome. What is the angry Black woman syndrome? If we were truly as angry as you make us out to be, why are you biting us? And two, there would be none of you. We're just tired of having to be everything to everyone. So, and that was killing me. I'm serious. I'll tell anybody that. It was. I'm serious. It was killing me. Always, you know, if you don't have anything to smile about, why smile? You're making yourself uncomfortable, you know,
just to make someone else comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah. I went through that too. One of my past experiences for work, where it was, I mean, I've been working since I was 16 and it's always been some sort of office setting, but it is me navigating those experiences. When I look back, I was always like, okay, I'm not going to dye my hair a certain color. Yeah. I'm going to leave it straight. If I wear it natural, I'm going to put a headband on, make it, you know, pretty it up a little bit more, like a lot of those things. Or when I speak, or always be extra chipper, even when it's no reason to be extra chipper. We can be in a meeting and I'm extra chipper and everybody else is like monotone. But just so I wouldn't come off as the angry Black woman or like I got an attitude problem or things like that. It was like I had to do those things because it was crazy. When I didn't do those things, my boss would say something like, are you okay today? What's going on? Are you able to get your work done? It seems like, you know, you're feeling this way. And it's like, what? Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, those experiences are definitely true for us. And I think like the more that, you know, we tiptoe around those things and like we really do make ourselves uncomfortable to appease somebody else, it does become like a mental, it does become like an issue. It becomes a health issue, a mental health issue. It becomes like, you know, overworking yourself and just not being mindful of your own self and how you're feeling and like really being true to you. So yeah, you're right. Like just be yourself. Definitely.
Yeah. And that's why I just sometimes it's really hard for me to understand a lot of our sisters when they say, oh, well, that's my sister, you know, to a white woman. And I'm looking like friend until you go against them or maybe you think a little differently than what they were raised on, you know? And it's not a possibility you can't have be friends or, you know, be with someone that's white. That's to me, that's your decision. A lot of people would say they think that I am pro something when I'm not. I think it's, you know, whatever, I'm pro individual, whatever you choose to do. You know, now me, I like to have more Black friends than anything. And sometimes even with us as Black women, we're a little tough on each other. But I personally like to hang around or, and I warm up a little bit more quicker to my own. Because, you know, white people I've learned in definitely in the work setting, I don't know about you, you tell me, but they will double cross you in a minute at work.
I've had that experience too. And you wouldn't, the funny thing is you wouldn't see it coming because the whole time they would just be like, smiling in your face.
And I just, you know, and you know, we have, again, we have, you know, Black people that have done that too. And again, I'm not making excuses, but I think that's just a part of our post-traumatic slave syndrome that comes from, you know, being enslaved or our ancestors being enslaved and them giving another one of us an apple, or they'd make the other person whip the other one just to kind of create that division. But there was a time during Jim Crow, like I would say segregation, I love the history of that time. A lot of people would say, a lot of lynchings occurred and that's brutal. It is brutal, but I like learning about the lynchings and I love learning about the Black towns that we had because we did that together.
Yeah.
You know, we were forced. I mean, unfortunately, we were forced to be together. But I love going to now I haven't been able to do that because COVID and then also just working on business as well as work. I love seeing Black women go to brunch, you know, or you don't work during the week. You go to have with your girlfriend. You deserve, like, we deserve that time. Yeah. Even my Black men, you know, a lot of people have been getting on Will Smith about, you know, what he did, you know, but regardless of whatever you think about that situation, the one thing that I loved about that is they had pictures of Tyler Perry and Denzel Washington talking to him after that. And, you know, obviously no one would really ever know what they said, which is a good thing because some things we need to keep amongst us and our friends. But I love how even though he may or may not have made a mistake, it's all in how you take it. Those men got together with their brother and they, you know, he was looked like he was crying a little bit or something. So he probably was, of course, upset. But I love how there are times where we rally around each other. So for me, I warm up more to my people and I respect and I have a lot more empathy for my own people.
Definitely.
In the workplace.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But yeah, I have experienced that in the workplace. Just like 1 minute, you know, with a white coworker of mine, just 1 minute smile on your face, the next minute they're kind of just doing something behind your back and you're like, what? Like, where is this coming from? But I find myself like throughout my work experiences over the years, when I do see a Black person, I instantly even before getting to know them, I instantly am like, I want to look out for you. Like, I'm going to spot you the best way I can.
Yeah.
Now, especially when I, you know, if I see you doing like what you're supposed to do and you're not slacking off and like those kind of things. But I always have it where it's like, you know, I got your back in a sense, you know, and I always want to make sure like they're treated equally and properly and things like that. Like really just looking out for each other, because sometimes I realize too, you know, there is, you know, the same coworker who did stuff behind my back also tried to create division. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's like looking out for each other, because you do have the people who want to create that division and create the conflict and those kind of things. So it benefits them. So yeah, I can definitely agree and relate to that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, there are a few different types of self-care that I thought of that, you know, I think are important for us to know and like to practice. Just some of them, like I think we mentioned it, the emotional and mental health, the spiritual, the physical, like your feminine health care, the financial self care, you know, with that being like your financial literacy and like even like your spending habits or even like your lack of spending habits, like, you know. So those are some things that I find interesting, like, you know, for us as Black women, like those are some areas when it comes to self care that we can really pay attention to. And work on and work within so that we can just kind of be ourselves and like not be as stressed as always, like typical. I think for me, like one of the most important ones for me, I would say, is that it kind of ties into each other. I feel like the spiritual and the emotional and the mental, like I feel like they all tie into each other, but the spiritual, emotional, and mental, I feel like that definitely kind of like is the foundation for me. And then once I've got like a good grasp on those things, it spills over and it goes into like my physical, like my feminine care health, you know, making my doctor's appointments, that hygiene piece of it, like really making sure like I'm good, taking care of my skin, like skin care routines and, you know, those kind of things. And then even just like, you know, working out and making sure like my fitness is good. And then I think the last one for me would be, it shouldn't be last, but you know, it's still important, the financial aspect of it, like that financial self-care, like with the financial literacy, like checking your bank account. Like nobody wants to see how much money they don't have, but you should still check your bank account to make sure that, you know, no funny business is going on, that you're good, but also like to track like your own spending habits, you know, like, are you spending too much? Are you shopping too much? Are you really saving for this goal that you want to get down the line in a year or two? Or even like the lack of your spending habits, like how many times have you gone to the store to buy something for yourself and you'll put it back because of whatever? I know like as a mom, I've gone through that a lot where like I've had spending money to spend and the kids have everything that they need, but I'll buy them stuff and then I'll put my stuff back. And so it's like, well, did I really have to do that to myself though? Like they have everything they need. Like I just went shopping for them the other day and they've got a whole bunch of new stuff. But now in this one shopping scenario, I still kind of put myself on the back burner and I put the things I really wanted back, even sometimes the things that I needed, and I got them extra. You know what I mean? And it's not being selfish, but it's a lot of moms, a lot of single Black moms do that. Yeah. And so I think that part of the self-care too, when it comes to like the financial aspect, I think we have to have a good balance with that too. So yeah, that's kind of like how I feel about those. Like, what about you? Like, do you have like a top three or?
I'm pushing. I don't have a top three, but I think for me, this is a good one. Money. Some of the spending habits that was passed down wasn't always the best.
Right.
And I think there is something that's called enjoying the fruits of your labor, you know,
that too.
You've just, you know, I've learned that just because you have extra money don't mean you spend it. But I also think there's nothing wrong with buying yourself something, because sometimes even for myself, and I don't have kids, I'll go to the store and I'll have the money to buy something. I'm like, oh, that's okay. I don't need it. You know,
so
I think for me, it's more so not being so tough on myself. you know, again, now if you don't have the money and you're spending on credit or, you know,
right,
using your rent money or mortgage money for, you know, something that you don't need, okay, now that's just on you. But right, if it's where you have the money, you just have to program yourself to buy something. So that's one thing for me. And I think another one of mine is just taking time to myself, working, doing accounting work, as well as, you know, just prepping for a business. This last year and a half has just been drastic, and I've always had to do something. So Sundays are, I try mostly Sundays. Sundays it changed, but Sundays is my self-care day where I'm weaning myself off business stuff. Mm-hmm. And I literally just sit. I'm just going to be real. I sit down, no makeup, no nothing. I don't work out. Like, I've did a little bit of weight with COVID, but I also wasn't taking care of myself in general. So I do my workout tapes. I love that. I do walkout tapes. So that's a form of self-care for me every day, even with work. But on days, no, I don't do anything. I just sit down, get me, I would say a box of donuts, but that would not be true. I get me some of the thin Reese's cups or whatever you call it. And I love House of Pain, or I love the old school Lifetime movies. And that's just my day.
Yeah.
That's just my day. And, you know, I used to be so guilty. I've just got good at it the last, 3 months? Probably. Mm-hmm. But before that, I would make my plans, you know, on Sundays, and I'd be sitting down, you know, I'd wash my hair or something like that. And I'm like, man, you know, okay, I got to do this. I got to do this. So I wouldn't go through with it. Or I'd do it for like 20 minutes and then the rest of it, I'm doing something. So now, no. Sunday, I literally look, as some would say, I look rough. I don't care. Walk around the house. I don't do anything with business, nothing with work. I do all my grocery shopping or whatever I need to do Saturday. And Sunday is my day. Reese cups, no working out. Or last Sunday, I got a massage. You know, I think we have to take care of ourselves. You know, please, I can't emphasize that enough. You know, and hopefully some of the listeners will understand at least one of the things that we're saying, because this is important, because we wear the cape for everyone.
Yeah, we do. We really do. Because even if you, we really do. I mean, look at it in terms of like raising a family, mm-hmm. even if you are married, mm-hmm. just the impact of your role as a mom and a wife for your family, and then a wife for your husband, mm-hmm. or even if you're not married, but you're in like a committed relationship, your role to be a partner to your husband and like being his support as well and being his peace. And, you know, him, obviously this is understood that he's doing everything he's supposed to be doing, but you know what I mean? Like just being that and showing up for that, but also like you're a daughter to somebody, or a sister, you're a cousin, like, you know, so we definitely, we are exactly right. We have a cape for everything. And I think like when we don't realize like that we have to have a cape for ourselves, mm-hmm. it's very easy for us to just like fall off and just kind of lose ourselves in a sense and not make that time. Like, I love that you have Sundays where you literally like just do nothing, which is great.
I'm still working on it. I still make Sunday dinner sometimes from company, but you got to take your food and go if I'm making you do it, because it's all about me. I have to do at least one thing for myself, because we and even if something happens, think about it. We get to feeling sorry for someone, mm-hmm. help them out. But when we get to ourselves, we push ourselves. No, you got to keep going. You know, you can't take a break. So we have a totally different set of emotional issues, even with, I know I have grown, because, and I don't know how you feel about this, but this is another area that, you know, we probably touch on another time, mm-hmm. but, with men, even with the head of the household now, I used to, if you'd have called me, I would say 20 years ago, I would have said, well, no, you ain't the head of the household. Even, you know, now I don't give a damn. No, you can be the head of the household. Because let me tell you something. And I realized that that does not mean that you let a man control you, or you be boo-boo the fool, as I would say. No, we don't put up with that. Look, I love our people, but you know, our grandparents, they put up with a lot to stay married 50 years. That's a beautiful thing, but no, we're not doing that in 2022. Okay.
Completely agree.
if you lead properly, the rest of the body will follow. And ladies, there's nothing wrong with him leading if, you know, long as he has some sense, you know, let's not let a bum lead us, okay?
Right, but, exactly.
And, you know, and there's more to life than money. I've known men who have money and have the assets, but they're, you know, assholes at the end of the day. They don't want to do anything they don't want to do, you know? Or if they, right. I have spoken mentality, that's going to get you nowhere but alone too. Because again, if you lead properly, you have to be able to, being a leader sucks. That's why I say they can have it.
because
I don't want all that responsibility, you know? And again, that comes from the feminist movement too, where women, white women have played that role of I'm your sister. But notice they don't leave their men. They decide to get married and have a family. They'll tell us, well, I wouldn't do that. And I see it at work every day. I wouldn't put up with that, but you got white pookie.
Right.
Okay. So let's think about that, ladies. They'll tell you, never let somebody tell you to leave who you're with. Sometimes look at their situation. So for me, I've learned with age and a little bit more maturity, there's nothing wrong with him being the head. That doesn't mean he control you, because let's be clear, the rest of the body is, the head cannot work with the rest of the body, and we are the rest of the body. So get it together. Okay. No. But yeah, so that, but anyway, that's another story. That's just my self-care Sundays and my workout. Yeah. So I do try to do 2 miles a day. So that's my self-care, because again, you know, I'm learning now health is wealth, and you know, I grew up eating all kinds of stuff, and I still have my, I'm saying that you can't have your fun. Cause let me tell you something, I'm going to eat my ice cream and my fried crabs. Okay. I'm from the coast. So definitely, I just don't think, you know, there are limitations, not every day, you know, you got to get up and move your muscles and, you know, things like that, you know, not, you don't have to be the thinnest, but make sure self-care is everything, even skincare products. I've gotten better with that. I was recently diagnosed with, what is it? PS or something, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Okay. And, well, to be honest with you, I've always thought that that was the case, but I got diagnosed with it, and it wreaks havoc on your hormones, you know, on your hormonal system with your skin. And recently I had an allergic reaction. This was a while back too. And that should have told me to leave my toxic stuff alone.
Right.
But I didn't, and I had an allergic reaction. So now it's just all natural. Even with skincare, make that a priority. Everything for us is really a priority and a form of self-care, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there too. I've also been big on self-care as well in terms of skincare. I've always kind of been that way, but it really got me really thinking about that when the pandemic came and I had to start wearing face masks, because the face masks is what breaks out my face. Like, my skin was so good, and then once I started having to wear the mask, it's just been like, I'm just like, what's going on here? Like, this is not cool. And I've got it under control now, because now I'm starting to, I've been using natural products for a year.
Yeah.
And I make sure, like, when the summertime hits, like last summer, I was in the sun every day. Everybody's like, skin cancer. I'm like, listen, I don't care. I'm in the sun. Like, I need my sunlight. My skin needs to go back how I need, like, I need to feed it. It had a mask on it all the time. Every day I went to work, I was in the house. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was like that natural sunlight is something that I needed. So for me, my skincare is like the product. It's outside for some fresh air, even on a cloudy day, like just letting fresh air hit it. It's sitting in the sun if I get an opportunity, and just letting the sun like just kiss it for a little while. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it definitely has become a priority. And then, yeah, just like me really being intentional about like my water intake. Like, you know, I don't drink a lot of juice. I'm a big tea person, but I sat down one time and I was like, I don't drink a lot of water though.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things for me in terms of my skincare, was like, I need to start guzzling more water. Now, granted, I'm constantly going pee, which is annoying, but I'm like, I got to get more water in me besides like my tea, you know, like the teas are great because it's herbal teas, all natural plants, like, you know, perfect, but I need more water as well. So I've learned to do my water intake a lot more and switch it up. Cayenne pepper water, lime water, lemon water, you know, infused water with like blueberries in there or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? So for me, it's been like the skincare is so many different levels, but like, you're right. It does all like tie into each other. So
We have so much that we could do for our self-care, you know, we do. So I just want to note that I think here, and I think, you know, maybe you'll agree that just because, you know, we have something different for our self-care doesn't mean that another, you know, Black woman, hers may be something different, you know, maybe even if it's just honestly doing some sit-ups, you know, you start, always start small. I tell everyone sit up for maybe one day, or, you know, eating something green for the day. You wouldn't believe how many people don't eat anything green at all for weeks or months at a time, or, you know, just taking something small out of your diet, or hell, even hiding in the closet for 30 minutes. I got that from my girlfriend. She does that. She eats in the closet because she's like, I have all day. I get my kids whatever they want. My husband. Yep. Whenever I have something, everybody always wants something. So I go in the closet and eat. She said that is literally self-care for her. So
yeah, I do that too. The kids have all the snacks they want. And as soon as I get my little special treat, they're like, oh, what's that? Oh, can I have some? Or when I go in the cabinets, get my special treat, it's gone. And I'm like, who ate all of this? Like, so it's very true.
Everyone has something totally different. And we're all, you know, just a work in progress, man. We have so much that we can improve in just various different ways. So just take it day by day.
Yeah, totally agree. So I know that we're coming close to the end. I know you don't have a lot of time this evening. So I do thank you for being on the episode. What's upcoming? Like, what are your upcoming projects? And can you tell us, you know, what's happening coming down the line?
Well, my life hopefully can go back to normal. I do run a page called More Black Threads. I have not posted in about 6 or 7 months. And I do miss it. It's just that I've been incredibly busy. And even taking a break from that was a part of my, you know, my self-care. But let's be clear. When I started the page, it's really not a page to get attention. Let's be clear. It's just more so... the people around me, they don't like the history stuff. They look at it like it's boring, or they look at it as hate. Let's just be honest. And I just wanted an outlet, you know, and I said, let me just make a single page for myself. And it's not a group page. It is. You know, I am a foundational Black woman. You'll see that in the bio. I believe it's there. And it just kind of grew a little bit more than what I thought it would be. So my inbox is always off the chain. And people will say, they used to say, hey, can you post this today? Can you post that? I'm like, I don't take requests. I'm just post random stuff. So it became a lot. And then on top of that, I will be running a business. So I'll be back on my page, actually, most likely in the next 2 weeks, not week, but in the next 2 weeks, I'm being honest here. I shut it down for a little bit, but I will be back on it this, the end of this month. And then I'm also working on a line of non-toxic skincare products. It has been a year and a half in the making. Very difficult, but I was finally able to get it done. And yay. I kept having to do this and do that and push and push. So no more pushing. I actually, we're going through with the trademark now. It awesome. Took, I think, 9 or 10 months for me to hear back from the trademark. Wow. Yes, but for the skincare part, it is all mine. So that's a plus. That took forever with COVID. But also... Mm-hmm. The website, which we have worked on, it is completely done. There's only one more thing left to do with that. And it will be open April 28th. That is on a Thursday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I honestly say that is not in the making anymore. That is literally the date that it will work. And I honestly, it's been stressing me out because having a business is tough, you know, and I started doing it locally. That's what happened. And it just kind of kaboomed locally. So it's pushed back a lot. And then also, I tell anybody, man or woman, Black man or woman, if you have a business, trademark it, because you will have people that will try to attempt to steal your ideas. And that's another thing that took me a while as well. Because someone came in, and actually a white woman, Yeah. Uh-oh. He wanted to come in and take the names and stuff. And I'm like, no, ma'am. Uh-uh. So I had to literally go through all of this. You know, thank God I had a good lawyer. I had a good trademark lawyer, but she also does other things as well. So that worked. But yes, the business is called More Threads. For those who don't know, more means black.
Yep. M-O-O-R. Yeah.
Yes. And threads, a lot of people look at it for clothing, but no. Well, we will have clothing eventually, but we'll get into that another time. But thread is kind of like a social media thing that creates conversation. And the start of it is the skincare. The skincare starts the conversation because we have one of the products, well, all of the products were, I wanted to be really, really serious about what I did for my people. Now, I say this loosely, okay, I know I'm on a public platform, but a lot of times, we don't treat our black people right when we're in business. We assume sometimes that just because a person is black, they're obligated to shop with us. Now, I would love for us to go back to what it was, the segregation, where we shop with each other, we patronize each other's businesses. But remember, when our ancestors had businesses, they were forced to do that, one. And two, they supported each other because everybody that came through the door, you knew you needed their money and you loved that person. You truly loved your brother, your sister. Everybody looked out for everybody. So all of my products, I put so much love in them. It's only a few, but I've bundled them up. And we have bundles such as the More Pride Duo, or the More Pride Trio, or the More Sensitive Duo, or the Black Power Duo. Like, everything is all about us, literally. Everything is non-toxic. And I did that because a lot of the products that we use daily contain chemicals that are making us sick. Yeah. And when the site is open, you'll see where I go in great detail about this. Yeah. You guys, we have $1 trillion spending power, $1 trillion spending power, and we buy more products than anybody else. If we did that with our own, just 10%, it would knock out our poverty rate. But again, that goes back to self-care, where we lack that sometimes. We have to take care and shop with everyone else. You know, someone told me recently that, oh, it's so racist for you to have More Pride Duo.
No.
And I was like, why? And this is one of my black sisters. She said, because you're not the only one that goes through stuff. And don't you think you're going to be offended? White people are going to be offended. I said, well, they can be, but and also with hiring people, even my vendors and all that, I picked predominantly black people. And I'm not saying I didn't have any white people do anything now, because that's just business. You know, you sometimes you have to use other people. But if I have my way, it's going to be my people. And she thought that was racist. So I'm going to just say she's a little lost. But
yeah, that's not racist at all. That's, I mean, you're hiring your people, and other cultures do it too. You wouldn't go and tell them they're racist. So it shouldn't be that way for us.
Never. And pretty much it's a simple ingredient, conscious skincare. You know, it's created with melanin in mind, melanin and history in mind. So I just got a page. I developed a brand new page because my other page was somewhat censored because of the trademark. This has been a long journey. So I created a brand new page. I had to for this one because I won, I won that portion of the trademark. But this is geared mostly toward us, and I'm calling Modern Skincare for the Culture. All of the recipes are developed by our elders and ancestors. They've used all these things for centuries.
And it matters because our skin, just like how we, you know, if we're sick and we need some kind of healing, we can't take the same thing that white people can take. Absolutely. It doesn't always work for us. It's the same thing for our skincare. Like, we love cocoa butter and shea butter and all these nice exotic oils from Africa and like the islands. Yes. White people's skin may not take that the same way. Do you know what I mean? So it's a, it definitely does matter when you make skincare products for our people by our people. So I love what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm a skincare junkie. Like, I splurge on hair care products and skincare products. People, some people splurge on like clothes and all that. I'll buy a 50-cent t-shirt. I don't care. But give me like a skincare, I'll spend $50 on it. Like, I'm so big on that. So I'm happy you're doing that. Yeah.
And everything is for, and again, everything is for, and to be honest, and again, I don't want to be biased because I love my Black men too. So, you know, it's always, you know, and that's the thing. The products were designed specifically with Black men and women in mind. But let's be clear, the Black woman controls the Black dollar. We spend way more money, or we go grocery shopping more, or we do more things for the house, you know, than the man. So let's just be realistic. So this what I like about it is, like, we have the More Black cleanser. I think everyone would love that. That is one of those things you can put in the shower and use for everything. Because again, we talked about how busy we are. Yeah. So you have your skin cleanser, you have your hair cleanser, and your body cleanser all in one. It does everything. You have one thing in the shower that works for you. I have the More Shea Butter, and the dope thing about the More Shea Butter, and I'm so passionate about it that I used it for a whole year before I wanted to. It does not have to be whipped. It is naturally soft. It doesn't have to be whipped. It's fragrance free. I'm sure I'll release more fragrances in the future, but right now I want to focus on those of us women who have sensitive skin, and it can be used in place of your lotion every day. It can be used as a hair conditioner. It attacks acne. And the best thing, again, is it is a luxury shea butter. I worked so hard for this project. It is a different kind of shea butter. So it's softer.
Yeah.
It has a less nutty scent. It doesn't get waxy, and you don't have to whip it to make it manageable. The way it's shipped out, our company ships it out, it will arrive to you very soft versus, you know, natural, regular shea butter. It gets a little hard and you got to dig a little harder. No, not over here. Modern, modern skincare for the culture. And I literally mean that.
That's so nice. So I look forward to it. I can't wait. Cause like I said, I'm a skincare junkie. So I can't wait to try. I'm always like wanting to lather up and put something on. So, and I do have sensitive skin as well. So that's a big thing for me, is finding something, because not only do I have Black skin, but, you know, it's also finding something that will be okay for me because I have sensitive skin. So somebody can say, like, I've gone to the store and seen products all natural, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I get home, but because my skin is so sensitive and whatever chemicals they put in it, I've got like a breakout on my face for like 2 weeks. And it's crazy, you know? So yeah, I definitely am interested in that. So
yeah.
Okay. So well,
definitely get that to you. And you know, what's weird, I have to say this before I go, you know, white people, they literally take everything, you know, I take the shea butter to work every day. I just like to have my own product. Now, and I probably should be marketing it at work probably, but I don't. I just bring it because I like, you know, I don't like being ashy, you know, and some people, some of my girlfriends at work, they suffer with acne and stuff. It's really good. So I bring it to them and they're like, oh my God, is this soft? Did you whip it? I'm like, no, that's how it comes. And you know, what's weird is two white girls came on like, hey, you know, is that shea butter? And I'm like, at first I'm like, what do you know about shea butter? It's like, no, we have acne. So they, and one of them told me she'd been using it for a while, and she went and showed me the one that she had. I'm like, we can literally have nothing to ourselves.
Right. Yeah. They just want to jump in and take. Yes.
So yeah, so definitely be on the lookout for that. And I'll be sure to send you I'll send you a duo in the mail.
Okay. I'll send you a duo. Thank you. I look forward to that. Okay. So you guys, thank you for being on this episode. I really appreciate it. It was a great conversation. Like I said, this was the this is one of the episodes into the Black Woman Self-Care mini series that I'm doing for my podcast. So I'm excited that we were able to like sit and talk about it and like break it down. I think now is the time too, because as more people talk about these things, mental health in the Black community, a soft life, a luxury life for Black women. I think now is the time to like just kind of talk about it and have these conversations. And so thank you for being on the episode. And, you know, I do hope that like whoever listens to this definitely gets something from this. And you guys, you know, I'll post the IG link in the description. You guys make sure you follow the IG page and, you know, just stay tapped in and stay in tune. And thank you so much for being on the episode. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Have a good night. Bye, guys.